C1AP. Number 16A.
We finished yesterday the exegesis of the 12th chapter of Revelation as given in the Apocalypse. And at the end of that exegesis, there is an addition. So to say, a summary on what Revelation has shown up to now. So we take that final passage on page 572, line 3, and we just quickly consider that. It says, thus we see in both the first and last book of the Bible, in Genesis and in the Apocalypse, that sin is to be Christianly and scientifically reduced to its native nothingness. So the dragon was cast out of heaven and was cast unto the earth, which means dust to dust. What she brings out here is that really Christianity is that which should reduce our concept of evil to nothingness. And we have seen that it does it through that wonderful Christianity order of principle, mind, soul, spirit, life, truth, and love. That Christianity order has always two big strains. First of all, to show that every idea that comes from God returns to God, it must be put back into God, it must always be God's idea or principle's idea. And the second strain is to show that everything that does not come from God, from heaven, that must be traced back to animal magnetism, to the dragon, and the dragon must be traced back to nothingness, to a concept that destroys itself. So in both cases, we are not tracing neither evil nor good back to a person or a place or thing. Always either trace good back to God and to trace evil back to animal magnetism and see it as nothing. Love one another is the most simple and profound counsel of the inspired writer. You remember, she started out in the explanation of the 12th chapter by saying that which could keep us from reaching the goal is if we hate our neighbor. So through that whole Christianity order, Mrs. Eddy was explaining this Christianity law that is fundamental to the gospel, that to love one another is the most simple and profound counsel. And then she adds, in science, we are children of God. As if she would say, love one another, but what is the other? Is the other a mortal? Is the other a person? Or what is the other? Love one another. Am I, and is the other, a mortal, or what is he? And so she lifts that Christianity to the level of a scientific Christianity and says, in science, we are children of God and not of men. But whatever is of material sense or mortal belongs not to his children. So whatever is of mortal sense, whatever is of the nature of matter and body and mortal mind and so on, belongs not to God's children, belongs not to men, for materiality is the inverted image of spirituality. So whatever is material, corporeal, is not God's child. As if she would reiterate what she has been showing, that Jesus is the highest human corporeal concept of the divine idea, and saying this is not really God's child. God's children are entirely spiritual and are only the image of spirit, nothing else. So that idea of man as God's man has no material concomitant, has no bodily concomitant. Therefore, we have to see that whatever appears as a mortal does not belong to man. Therefore, we must find a new concept of what is man. Then she gives another paragraph, and in this paragraph it is as if she would summarize not only the 12th chapter of Revelation, but actually all the preceding visions that the Revelator has given. We have seen we had the vision of principle. In that vision of principle, she presented really the science of metaphysics, what constitutes the science of metaphysics, the infinite one sitting on the throne with the seven spirit, with the four beasts, with the 24 elders, and the beast with six wings, the 24. That she was depicting as constituting scientific metaphysics. Then she had the vision of life, the angels opening the seals, then the vision of truth, the angels with the trumpets and the seven trumpets, and only then came the vision of love of the 12th chapter of Revelation. So this 12th chapter of Revelation as the vision of love, she calls here at line 12, love fulfills the law of Christian Science. So the vision of love, rightly understood, would fulfill really the law of Christian Science. But we'll see that the Revelator goes on. He doesn't stop with the 12th chapter, because the Revelator has also to take in the metaphysical treatment of error, because he knows that we are not all in heaven, and rejoice ye heaven, but woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea. Also for those there must be a salvation. But if we would take Mrs. Eddy's explanation of the 12th chapter and would reach the consciousness of the Gabriel state of thought instead of only the Michael state of thought, then she would say that love fulfills the law of Christian Science and therefore is entitled to go from that 12th chapter direct to the 21st chapter, namely where Christian Science is depicted. So she can bridge over really from those chapters 13 up to 18 especially, and start in with the vision of spirit and with the city four square. But we'll see this today step by step. So here just a preview of the whole picture. Again, she summarizes here, we are at the point of the vision of love. Love fulfills the law of Christian Science, and nothing short of this divine principle, this divine principle understood and demonstrated, can furnish the vision of the apocalypse. See, we had in the vision of principle, really, that vision of the apocalypse, the vision of the principle. Then we had the vision of life, namely to open the seven seals of error with truth. In the vision of life, we could see the angel, not the angel, the lamb, could open, truth, could open the seals, the seven seals. And then we come to the vision of truth, or uncover, Now you get to the uncovering the trumpets, or uncover the myriad illusions of sin, sickness, and death. So can you see, she says, she looks back to where the Revelator has come from and says, well, first he has shown the principle of Christian Science in the vision of principle, then he has to show how to uncover with the seals error, and then with the vision of truth, he has shown the trumpets, she goes back and says, what has the Revelator shown in the visions? He has shown in the visions, in the vision of principle, he has really shown what constitutes what she says here, the divine principle, which can be understood and demonstrated, and present the divine principle. Then we had the second vision of life, which was analyzing really the seals, and so we're opening the seals, therefore open the seven seals of error. Then we had the third vision of truth, the trumpets, that were uncovering the myriad beliefs of sin, sickness, and death. We are uncovering everything that was the counterfeit of mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. And so fulfilled now at the tone of love, the whole sense of the seven synonymous term. So under the supremacy of spirit, it will be seen and acknowledged that matter must disappear. That was shown in the vision of love, where love fulfills the law of Christian Science, namely under the vision of love, matter must disappear. It is interesting that she says that matter must disappear, and that she doesn't just say matter disappeared or disappears or has disappeared, that she more or less says it has to disappear. To disappear, it is under the forcible impact of love that says there is salvation and you can't escape it, either through science or suffering, you will get there. She has shown up to this point the way of science, because she has said love fulfills the law of Christian Science. And now she also sees that there is the way of suffering, and that also through the way of suffering we will arrive at the final salvation. And that way of suffering is now depicted in the following chapters. The following chapters, to which we are going right now, will then show with the vision of soul, how the seven vials full of the last plagues are being dealt with through the rule of soul, and that only in that way really we can overcome through suffering all the various beliefs, so that finally we can enter the holy city in the vision of spirit. And so we will go back from here, where Mrs. Eddy stops. You see that she makes now a jump to Revelation 21, but we should see why she is entitled to do such a thing. What makes her, or gives her the right to say, I only take out of the whole of Revelation certain passages, and only present them without really infringing on her own principle of interpretation, that one should not take out single paragraphs and single sentences out of the whole text. So let's turn now to the Bible, and with that to the blue study material. We go back to page 7. Because on that page 7 you have the vision of love, that which is within the box is that what we have taken up to now of the chapter 12, but the vision of love goes on, goes further than the chapter 12. It goes to chapter 13 to 14 and presents now what Mrs. Eddy called that the following chapters depict the fatal effects of trying to meet error with error. Now, we will have to see what she means with that statement. It's a very short statement, and it doesn't quite tell exactly what she means by the following chapters. They are plural, but she doesn't say how many chapters, because after a while she picks up the chapter Revelation again and shows the city foursquare. So she doesn't quite show from where to where. She feels that it is trying to show the false method of trying to meet error with error. Because also, when we read on at this point, we feel, yes, the next chapter in the singular, the chapter 13, really gives a very sad and dark picture, gives really the picture of error. But already when we come to chapter 14, we get a very glorious view of the Lamb standing on Mount Zion and about true manhood, so that we are wondering what she really means with that statement that the following chapters. So we have to use a bit judgment as we go through the text and judge the text itself, interpret the text itself, and then we will see that actually over a few chapters, right to the end, really, of the vision of soul, we are still in the vision of love, that only at the end of the vision of soul, really, error is resolved in consciousness and has the final touch of error being self-destroyed. But in between, there are positive lights in it, very positive lights in it. There are really passages that are not showing how error tries to beat the situation with error. But we will see that it does not show that high altitude of the 12th chapter, how the woman deals with the dragon. From now on, whenever something positive comes in, it is either the Lamb, but mostly angels that show us how to deal with error. Now we know what angels are. We know that angels are scientific thoughts as the best, but not the woman, not the idea. Therefore, one cannot help feeling that here at this very point the revelator begins to see that there is also the way of metaphysics and of scientific thought with which we can handle error. But that is only necessary because we start out from error. Therefore, whenever we start out from error, we have a feeling that we must handle our situation with error if we start out with error. And so always get into trouble. We'll see here all the trouble that we get into when we start out from the basis of error, and that every way and shape and meaning to deal with that error, with error, just will not do. So that the answer here is that if you try to meet error with error, then you have to see that this does not work. Therefore, you have to take metaphysics, you have to lift up thought to a higher standpoint and try with the three and a half, with the three and a half of mind, spirit, soul, and a little bit of principle to approach the whole situation, and then you will see that little by little, little by little, you also can arrive at the solution. And this is what we are going to contemplate today. See, but I can put the whole question even in another way. We have seen yesterday that when Mrs. Eddy started with the tone of love as love in the 12th chapter, where she had that wonderful picture of, quote it, where, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation. That's a scientific way of dealing with evil. Now is come salvation, not I'm going to work out salvation. If I want to work out salvation, I start from error. And then that passage ended with woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, because the dragon has come down and torments you. So there, we already have seen that if we don't handle a situation from the point of view of perfection, from the point of view of the Gabriel state of thought, that then we still can make a reality of error. Michael still makes somehow a reality of error, he wouldn't fight the holy war. One only fights something if the opponent seems to be something, a power, an intelligence, or life, so that the Michael state of thought only knows that he is more powerful than error, but he still somehow accepts that there is an enemy. Whereas the Gabriel state of thought says, no, now is come salvation, I am the ever-presence of ministering love, to love there is only love, there is no accuser. So the revelator at that point where he introduced the 6,000-year period, not the 7,000-year period, he is only talking about the Michael. And therefore, because he's talking about Michael, he has to take into account that somehow in the subconscious there is constantly that belief and that suggestion that evil could be real, that evil could have a power. And so one can always fall down really to the earth and to the sea and try to handle a situation from that standpoint. And this is shown now very clearly when we start with chapter 13. Chapter 13 starts right out and said, and I stood up on the sand of the sea. For the first time, some kind of a vision, some kind of a picture that he pictures in Revelation starts out not from on high, not from an angel in heaven, not from an angel that comes from heaven, nor from a woman in heaven, but of something that is right down as inhabitants of the earth and the sea. And so he said, all right, now, if I don't see really the high standpoint that now is come salvation, then I'm not taking the right standpoint, then I stand really on the sand of the sea. The sand of the sea is the sand of human reasoning. And so he gives a whole chapter and a picture of what happens when we stand on the basis of human reasoning and not dwell in heaven. And so as he is going out from the standpoint of human reasoning, he says, "And I saw a beast rise up out of the sea." Sea is always a symbol of error. So he begins to see what he afterwards describes really materia medica, medicine, as a belief of life in matter. Namely, he sees that beast coming up from the sea and has 7 heads and 10 horns and 10 crowns. It takes on itself all the wonderful symbols and says, "I too have 7 heads," the 7 synonyms. "I too have 10 horns. I have power. I too have 10 crowns. I'm crowned in the world. They worship me." And his name was Blasphemy. But he had great authority, that sense of life in matter, as great authority in the world. And one of his head was wounded to death. He was sick. And his deadly wound was healed. Medicine heals on the basis that there is life in matter. So medicine heals, but it is the attempt to correct error with error. But it also heals to a certain extent and for a certain while. So he depicts here that medicine uses drug, which is a belief that life and intelligence and truth is in matter. And the world wondered after the beast. And so the world does today and has ever done. They always wondered, the medical men. And they worshipped the beast. Yes, everybody worships medicine. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months. Again, the 3.5. As long as people believe, they will accept really that belief that there is life, truth, and intelligence in matter. And blasphemed against God and them that dwell in heaven. That's what happens. They laugh at spiritual things. They say only the material can help. And he that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. Now he resumes and says, well, if you try to meet error with error, you fail. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. So meeting error with error will not succeed. Is that clear? Then comes the second beast, which John Dolly symbolized as false theology, as the belief of truth in matter. And it says, "And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth." The first one came out of the sea. Namely, came out of a secondary power, the earth, as visible air and audible sin. And that beast, too, had 2 horns like a lamb. It also was simulating, really, the lamb was simulating the Christ, what theology naturally does. "And spake as a dragon, not as a lamb, and caused the people to worship the first beast." Theology always says, yes, medicine is all right. That's all right. Worship that beast. Accept that as your saving power too. And theology makes fire come down from heaven. They always teach, really, the law of penalty. That penalty will come down and will just punish you for all what you do.